You are listening to a sermon from MCA Church. To learn more about our community, head online to mcachurch.ca. Thanks.
Well, good morning, church. My name is Keith. I'm a pastor here at Mission Creek Alliance Church, and it's a delight to lean into this new season of ministry alongside of you. There is something about being led in worship, in song, by people we know, people who are part of our family of faith. When God's church worships together in relationship, there is something that grows that is beautiful for our life, for our church, for our city, and may it be a fragrance to the world. So thank you, Adam and team, for leading us once again. I know that my heart has felt a little bit void of community worship together. And it's great to lean in this morning as we bring praise to the one who is worthy of it all, Jesus. How do you put the pieces of your life together when the life you once knew has radically been changed? How does a widow move into God's future without their spouse? Or a grieving mother who has lost her unborn baby? How does a person who once had a heart full of love navigate a new reality with a broken heart? Or a person who has been betrayed by a friend, burned by someone they used to think loved them? How do you pick up the pieces of life when the life you knew before is no longer the same? In post-World War II Germany, the Confessing Church, they wrestled with this very question. In the years leading up to the end of the Second World War, the faithful church, they were holding on to Jesus and his gospel, all the while living under an oppressive and, might I say, satanic Nazi regime. They lived not only through the bombings and the invasions, the death of friend and family, but they also lived under the oppressive thumb of this force of evil. And so when the war ended, there was a collective sigh of relief, but the question still remained. How do you pick up the pieces of life when the life you once knew will never be the same? And one of Germany's greatest preachers at that time, a man by the name of Helmut Thielicke, he knew how to go about answering that very question. What he decided to do was he turned his congregation's attention to Jesus' most famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. We read it in Matthew chapter 5 to chapter 7. And Thielicke, he preached through a series of sermons in the Sermon on the Mount, and he entitled his sermon series, Life Can Begin Again. Why would he choose the Sermon on the Mount at such a time as that? Well, because in the sermon, Jesus is teaching us about the true foundation of all of life. He's describing the kind of life and the kind of community that develops when people put their trust in him, when people follow the author of life. The Sermon on the Mount, at its very core, is a description of what life looks like when the kingdom of heaven invades the earth. It's a picture of the life that develops when the king of that kingdom, Jesus, has his way among people upon the earth. And it turns out that the Sermon on the Mount, the life that it describes, is the only kind of life that will truly last. It's the only kind of life that you and I and every other person who was ever made is meant to live. So how do you pick up the pieces of life when life as you once knew it has changed? You turn to King Jesus and you listen to his sermon, and life can begin again. Now, we haven't just come through World War II, but COVID has indeed changed the world as we know it. And it feels like we're stepping into the fall. As we're stepping into it, we're stepping into something a little different than we did last year. School is different. Work is different. Sports are different. There's lots of things that are different. And so over these next 4 months, I want to lead us into Jesus' Sermon on the Mount with a sermon series that I've entitled, borrowing from Tilica's title, and we're calling it Life Begins Again. Life begins again. Because as we step back into something new at school or at work or the other places that we go, we are being invited to live in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount at the very same time. To live the kingdom life here on earth, just as it is in heaven. New life in the midst of the old, for life to begin again and again and again and again. And perhaps that's just what your life needs in this particular point in time. That maybe you need a jump start, an invigorating boost that wakes you from the spiritual malaise that you find yourself in, or a genuine encounter with Jesus that sets you on the path of life once again. Or maybe for you, it's this impossible-to-ignore challenge that will launch you into God's mission to the people around you. It's what the sermon does in us. E. Stanley Jones, a missionary to India, he once said that if we would live into the Sermon on the Mount, he says it would renew our Christianity. It would renew the world. And he goes on, our present-day Christianity, he says, anemic and weak from the parasites that have fastened themselves on its life through the centuries, needs a blood transfusion from the Sermon on the Mount in order to renew radiant health within it, so that it may throw off these parasites and arise to serve and to save the world. To serve and to save the world. I'm praying that over these next few months that you will experience a much needed blood transfusion from the great physician as you allow him to preach his most famous sermon into your life. Life begins again. And I want to begin this morning at the end. I want to start as this sermon series by beginning at the very end of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And the reason I want to do that is because it's at the very end of the sermon that we are given a picture of what Jesus wants to do in your life. It's a call, an invitation to build your life on the foundation. And so I invite you to turn with me to the end of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 7, if you have a Bible, just grab it off your shelf or your coffee table or pull it up on your phone. Matthew chapter 7, and I'm going to be reading verses 24 to 28. I invite you right now to hear from the great preacher himself, Jesus, as he preaches his Sermon on the Mount. Let all who have ears hear. Jesus said, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash." When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Jesus, this morning, as we take a step into the Sermon on the Mount, we acknowledge that we're not stepping into empty words, but you, the living word, are inviting us into a life worth living. And so, Holy Spirit, where there are things you need to point out in us, we pray you do it in advance. We are attentive to your voice this morning, Jesus, as we turn to you in your word. So speak, for your servants are listening. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you right now to picture your life as a house. And think of all that has gone into the construction of that house. There's been your parents' love, their attention, their guidance, their discipline, even their mistakes. These are the things that have formed the walls of your life. Then there are things like the privileges that you have been afforded, or the disadvantages. These have formed the kind of house that you are living within, that you are building upon. There are things like your experiences, your acquaintances, your schooling, your church, your parents, your teachers, mentors, pastors, friends. Just think of all the people who have been part of this great building project that is your life. And beyond all of this, your life has been built by your choices, by your actions, by your successes and your failures, the great things you've done, the mistakes you have made. And even to this very day, your life continues to be built into a house. And here is what I know about all of this. We all want to build a life worth living. Every single one of us. We want to build a life worth living. We want to build a bright future, a life of freedom and opportunity, a life that flourishes even in the ups and downs of the years. Now, no matter your age or stage, this is true. We all desire to build a life that is worth living. And that's why many of you young people, you started up college or university in this past week. You're building for a brighter future. Or in times gone by, it's why you've wanted to travel the world, to see different parts of the world, to expand your horizons, to expand your understanding, and get a greater outlook in life. And then when you start your career, there are all of these opportunities to grab hold of, promotions to earn, challenges to overcome. All of these things are about building the kind of life that you want to live, a life worth living. And then when you get to my age, you start thinking about your retirement and how you're going to put away for your retirement. It's all about building a brighter future. And those of you with children, you're looking to build a bright future for your kids. You're teaching them right from wrong and how to get along with others. You're showing them the way of Jesus. You're teaching them to brush their teeth and make their bed. And all of it is because you want to teach them how to be successful in life for themselves in the future. And grandparents, you join your kids in that endeavor with your grandkids. The truth of the matter is, at every age and stage, we all want to build a life that is worth living for ourselves or for those who are closest to us. And that is what Jesus is talking about here at the end of his most famous sermon. He is talking about building the kind of life that you actually want, building the kind of life that we actually need, a life worth living. But in the great building enterprise that is your life, Jesus wants you to notice something. He wants you to notice that there are only two kinds of builders. You're either wise or foolish. When you look at your life, what kind of builder are you? The wise builder, Jesus is telling us, is building a legacy, where the foolish builder is building a liability. When it comes to the life that you're building, there are only two choices. You're either building a legacy or you're building a liability. A legacy is when you build a life that actually lasts. It's about building a life that benefits others as well as yourself. That is a legacy life. Liability is building a life that's at risk. It can cause great damage to other people as well as yourself. That is a liability life. And Jesus is asking each one of us here this morning, what kind of life are you building? A legacy or a liability? And here's the truth. Every single one of us wants to build a legacy. It's the desire of our heart. Nobody wakes up and thinks, I want to build a liability of a life. We all want to build a legacy. We want to build a life that works, a life of purpose and of joy and of blessing, a life that actually leaves something lasting in our world. But the problem is that many of us are not. The truth of the matter is that a lot of houses out there are a living liability. Things like unforgiveness. They can be like rotting floorboards in a condemned building. Selfishness. It can be like a missing timber in the frame. Addiction. It can be like that crack in the drywall that indicates a deeper problem in the foundation of the building. See, we all want to build a legacy, but many of us are building a liability. What kind of life are you building? Here's the good news. Not only do you desire to build a life of legacy, Jesus wants to build that life in you too. And you know what? He wants to turn your liability into a legacy. He knows how to do it. He knows what you need. He is what you need. You see, Jesus is the master architect and builder. And his Sermon on the Mount is one of the ways he wants to build your life into a life worth living. It's his invitation to build the kind of life that you actually want. And so, church, are you ready to take up Jesus' invitation? In part, Jesus wants to build a legacy life in you because he knows something certain about your future, about all of our futures. He knows that storms will come in life. And we wish that weren't the case. We wish that we never faced storms of any kind in our life. But the reality is, Jesus knows there will be storms. Life is full of them. There are layoffs and breakups. We're hit by financial failures and moral failures and relationship failures. There is loss and grief. There's sickness and disease. We're hit by these kinds of storms. There's tragedy. There's even the sting of death. And in the midst of it all, in the middle of it all, Jesus wants you to have the kind of life that not only survives the storm, but is able to thrive in the midst of it. And so he's inviting you. He's inviting you to live in the Sermon on the Mount, Are you ready to take up his invitation? In Jesus' metaphor, it's actually the storm that reveals whether a person has been building a legacy or building a liability. The storm is what reveals it. And I've seen this many times in my life as a pastor. One of the areas I see it most often is when a person loses a loved one. One spouse dies, and the other is left to pick up the pieces and figure out how to move into God's future for them. And there are usually two scenarios. Some, they find a way through their deep grief and pain with grace and with emotional health. They surround themselves by wise counsel and friends. They cling to Jesus. And their pain is all the real. But their life, it resembles a tree that is planted by a stream of living water. And others are virtually swallowed up by their pain. They self-medicate. They lose their faith. They lose the person that they once were. Their life once looked like a beautiful tree in a forest, but now it resembles a burnt stump in the chars of a wildfire. See, the storms of life, they have a way of exposing the foundation that we have been building on. Take, for instance, the COVID storm that we have all been walking through over these past 6 months. As I've talked with pastors from other churches around our great city, we all agree that this COVID storm has exposed many things within the church, within God's people. For instance, it's exposed for some an immaturity of faith, that your life with Jesus has virtually been put on hold until we can resume meeting in a building again. It's exposed an immaturity of faith. For others, it's exposed an apathy of faith. You've come to think that you can get by quite well without ever being part of a church community ever again. There's an apathy to the gathered church. And for others, it's exposed the reality that you don't have any deep spiritual friendships. And oh, how we need spiritual friendships on the journey of faith. And for others still, maybe it has exposed a deeper sin issue in your life, something that runs deep. Can we take a moment right now simply to turn our hearts to Jesus who speaks to us by his Spirit and just ask him, Jesus, what has this present storm exposed about the kind of life that I'm building? Jesus, what has this storm exposed about the kind of life that we are building? Well, it's here precisely where the Spirit of God wants to work, to renovate, to rebuild. Here's the difference between building a legacy and building a liability. Jesus tells us plainly in verses 24 and 26 when we read them back to back. Listen. Jesus says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand." Notice that both of these wise and foolish person, they both hear Jesus' words, but only the wise puts them into practice. The difference between building a legacy and a liability is not simply hearing God's word, but it is doing God's word. Jesus is telling us that the only foundation firm enough to build your life upon is the foundation of God's word, which a person does and hears and does. God's word is the foundation. both his written word, the words of the Bible, but also his living word, Jesus himself, the word who took on flesh and moved into the neighborhood, made his dwelling among us. God's word is the only sure foundation on which one can build their life. Why? Because his word is the only thing that will last through the entirety of life and long after. Everything in life can change in a moment, in the blink of an eye. Like shifting sand, it can change. Relationships change. People change. Our finances change. The weather of our soul, it can change. Our so-called luck in life, it all changes. But the Word of God endures forever. The Word of God, God's written Word, and Jesus himself, it endures forever. It is there from your cradle to your grave. It is there when you take your first breath and your last. It is there in the joy and in the pain. It is there in the blessing and in the burden. God's word is there in the brightest of days and in the darkest of nights. Jesus tells us that even the heavens and the earth, as we know them, they will pass away, but God's word endures forever. To build a life on anything other than the foundation of God's word is simply foolish. It will not last. The difference between building a legacy and building a liability comes down to building on the foundation of God's word, which is hearing and doing God's word. And so, what does it mean to do God's word? It means, quite simply, to live with God's word. Doing the word of God means living with the word of God. First, living with the word made flesh, Jesus himself. You see, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, make no mistake about it, the sermon is not about this do-it-yourself morality, these short life lessons Jesus is trying to help you live your best life now. That's not what the sermon is about. It's not a new set of rules to follow that God, if we do, will reward us if we get them right. No. Jesus' Sermon on the Mount is first and foremost an invitation to live with the preacher who first preached these words. It's an invitation into life with him. The transforming power of Jesus, of his most powerful sermon, it takes effect when we come face to face and let the preacher in. Doing the word of God means living with Jesus. It's placing your life in his hands, turning and returning to him at every junction of your life, praying to him, worshiping him, listening for his voice, receiving the salvation he has provided for us through his sacrifice on the cross. There is no life apart from it. That's what it looks like to live with God's word, to do God's word. But living with God's word is also about letting his words, Jesus' words, guide the actions of your life. Building on the firm foundation is about daring to be obedient to God's word and what it is asking, what he is asking of you. It's about taking seriously the reality of what life looks like in God's kingdom and setting about to live in sync with that challenging reality. And we'll see that as we move through his sermon over the next number of months. This is how we do God's word, by living with God's word. attentive to Jesus' presence, and surrendered to his leadership. So, church, think of your life as a house. There are only two kinds of lives that can be built: a legacy or a liability. Which one are you building? The wise build their life on the only foundation that lasts. It is the Word of God. So hear it and do it. With Jesus, follow Jesus. Let us build lives of legacy together, church. As I think of these next 4 months, I want to be part of building something with you in my own life, in your life, in the life of our city, for the sake of the people. We need a blood transfusion to serve and to save the world. And Jesus has what we need. Let's build something together. Let's pray. Jesus, oh, we want to let the authority of your word settle into our life. And I think the reality, Lord, is that we all have probably been part of building both kinds of houses. That in places we're building a legacy with you as the foundation, and other places there's liabilities that need your attention. And so we invite you, Holy Spirit, Spirit of Jesus, to fill us afresh so that life can begin again. We repent and turn to you and ask, Jesus, that you would make us whole. And that this next season of our life together, though it looks different, we pray, Jesus, that you would build nonetheless. And that our mission in this city, our love for this city, would be greater than any other time in the history of this church. And that from among us, as we allow you to build our lives, that you would be raising up leaders and missionaries and apostles and prophets and teachers and evangelists from among us. That we might be your church in every sense of the word. And so, Jesus, as we look to that future, we turn our attention to the structures of our lives and say, Jesus, begin with me. Begin right here. And so, Jesus, we delight. We delight in you because we know when we put our life in your hands, we receive the life of heaven. And so, Jesus, build us to be your church. We are your people. We pray these things in your name, and we respond in worship today. Amen.